Welcome back to CSL Cafecito, the podcast where we talk all things culture over some nice cafecito. I'm Joel Cadenas.
And I'm Yvette Cruz.
Thanks for joining us. Today, we're going to hit you up with two topics. We're going to start talking about school shootings and in light of everything that has happened over, or I should say everything that happened the past few weeks in Florida. We're going to talk about how school shootings, but also about how social media, the power of social media, when these shootings have been occurring and how students have taken power to report these stories as well. So we'll get into that. We'll also get into some people might say a related topic, which is bullying and everything from cyberbullying to adult bullying, which people don't tend to think exists, but it does. And we'll get into that in a little bit. So Yvette, why don't you get us started today?
Yeah, okay. So we're no strangers to tragic events. It seems like they just keep happening. You know, they're happening in our movie theaters, in our malls, during marathons and concerts. And worst of all, like you said, they're happening in our schools. This is horrible. And it just seems like we're left to pick up the pieces and hope that something will change. Recently, on February 14th, there was another mass shooting that took place. And this time it was at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, where 17 people were killed by a former student with an AR-15. And many more were left injured and physically, and I guess it's safe to say emotionally, too. Yeah. So for this particular segment, I don't want to talk about the shooter too much. I don't want to give him that attention. I don't think he deserves it. Right. I want to talk about the students. So these students, I think, are unlike any other victims. It seems that they are, some of them, lots of them, are doing everything in their power to be the last school shooting. There was a CBS News article titled "Internet-Connected Parkland Teens Wield Their Power." And it's basically about how the students are using their phones, or no, how the students use their phones and social media to stream the terrifying event that they were going through as it was happening. And now they're using the power of social media to bring about change. So I want to read the first line of the article. It says, let me go up here. To scroll through the Twitter feeds of students from Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School from the past week is to relive their horror. And yeah, the article includes screenshots from, and I'm sure you've seen these shared on social media. We talked about these. Obviously, we work in news, so we're seeing this stuff all the time. But it's likely that people, even who don't follow the news as much as we do, heard about this. This terrible event. And what you saw on social media was screenshots of conversations being shared from, you know, students inside the school and what they were saying to their family members and to other friends. Yeah. And it's like I'm getting chills now just seeing some of that stuff, seeing the horror that they were living and then that their family members or friends were like living for them. Yeah. And so, you know, you saw that, you saw pictures of like, oh, this one just like, yeah, it's you saw pictures of kids like underneath their desks and just taking pictures of the room, and they were updating the world, I guess you could say. And they, one of them said, "Still locked in. I checked the local news, and there are 20 victims." And that was at the time of the shooting. There wasn't a lot of information going out, but yeah, they were using their phones to find out what was happening, but they were also using their phones to tell the world what was happening. And so, you know, there were videos of SWAT teams coming in, and just some terrifying stuff. And I don't think anybody should ever have to live through it, but it seems like people are going through it more and more these days. And so I want to get your thoughts on this. We grew up obviously in a different time where we weren't, I guess it's safe to say, we weren't as scared to go to school that something like this would happen. We weren't, right. You know, we had other things on our mind, and we also didn't have the technology that today's kids have to broadcast what's happening and, you know, bring about change. And so what are your thoughts on what they've been doing and how the world is reacting, how the world is seeing what's happening?
But first, what I do want to say is I want to start off with just giving my condolences to the families and to the friends, to everybody, and not just the people that who have lost loved ones, people that survived, that are emotionally scarred, and this is going to be with them forever.
Absolutely.
And it's something that's, like you said at the beginning, we've gotten accustomed to. It's reached a point where we're sadly not surprised by it. It's just kind of like, oh, there's another shooting. And we just kind of roll our eyes, whether it's at a theater and especially even at schools. Now it's just like, oh, another school shooting.
Yeah.
Like it's becoming the norm. And one thing that I will start off this conversation with, at least on my end, the courage of these kids to, in the moment, know that they need to send out this information, not because, and I don't think it crosses anybody's mind or any of their minds to say, I got to put this up on social just because to put it on social.
No,
they're thinking about their lives here. They're thinking about, I need to let the world know, or my family know, or whoever know, that this is going on. My life is at risk here. Yeah. And if these are my final moments, which is a scary thought to think about, if these are my final moments, I am going to let you know what had happened in these final moments, whether it is something brave that you saw. Well, here's, you know, my professor is holding back the door.
Yeah.
Or I'm trying to run here. Like, we're in a group of people here. We're hiding. And these are horrible circumstances to be talking about. But these kids nowadays, they're obviously much smarter. They have much more information. The instruments that they have there is so powerful. Everything with social media, we sometimes take it for granted, because most of the time, a lot of people are just posting things just to post things, and some of those things don't even make sense. But when it comes to these things, the power that these students have posting these on social media and telling the world what is going on, I think back to the first shooting that I could remember, which was Columbine back in 1999. When that happened, I was leaving middle school and I was about to go to high school. And when that happened, that felt like, at that time, it was like, okay, that was the scariest thing that could ever happen. Like, you can't believe what it was, what it was, 19 or 20 people that had been shot and killed. And I remember it got so bad that when I got to high school, our high school didn't allow us to say the word Columbine.
Really?
Yeah, we were banned.
Was it Ogden?
At Ogden High, they told us if somebody says Columbine, the teacher's going to say, hey, don't say that word.
What, like you can't talk about the incident?
You can't talk about the incident. It was just a different, I think just because it had
it was so taboo.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, there had been school shootings before.
Oh, yes, tons. Yeah. I've looked it up. Yeah. And yeah, it's crazy to think that Columbine is one that we remember, but there were tons before that.
I just think with that one, I think just the extreme nature of, and not necessarily because there was social media, because there wasn't social media, there was internet. So you could go to whether it was AOL or MSN to see these images. But I think what resonated a lot is the camera, the videos inside the school, what was going on, because you could see the images of the two individuals that were doing the shooting. Also, the images that we saw on CNN and some of these other outlets, the helicopter images, seeing people jump out of windows like they were. I do remember that one. Specifically of one student, he just jumped out the window and was dragged to safety because it was hectic. And now with social media, it almost feels like, even though I don't want to be, nobody should be in a classroom with, obviously, when the shooting is going on. Now we're in the classroom. And some and some of these images that we see here, there's one on the CBS, on this CBS piece that it's the moment where the police come in, they're starting to do their check school.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you could just hear the screams of these kids and the terror, and one of them is shaking nervously and rightfully so. But going back to what you said with the students, the courage that they have, the courage that they've been having after the shooting to stand up and say, like you said, we're going to be the last mass school shooting, because whatever side of the aisle you're on politically, we can all agree that this needs to stop.
Yeah.
Now, who is to blame? I'm not going to get into that, because that's just a big spider web to get into. And there's many different sides to it. There's many different. And if you saw the CNN town hall of, I believe it was last week, with Marco Rubio and with some of the other leaders, you could see it was very, very heated on both sides. It wasn't. And I think, and I'll send this back to you, but you know, the power of social media almost feels like now whenever something tragic like this happens, it's almost our responsibility, anybody's responsibility, that we kind of become the reporters, or we become like we are setting up what's hopefully a solution for the future, is because we're capturing the moments.
Yeah, so everyone else can see it.
Yeah. What are your thoughts overall on how social media is playing into these tragedies? Because we've seen it in other places as well. We've seen it in other school shootings, unfortunately, that have been captured moments of terror.
Yeah. So I think, like you said, I think that I'm assuming that this is what they're thinking. And this is at least what I can't tell you what I would do in the moment, but this is how I would like to see it. You know, people use social media for all sorts of things, but in reality, it's a form of communication. And when these people, anybody who's lived through any type of mass shooting or any type of horrific event, when you have that tool, so you can use it. I mean, obviously people use it for all sorts of things, but you can use it to tell the world what's happening, and to not even tell them, to show them, because sometimes people think, that happened here. You know, I don't go there. I'm not from there. That wouldn't happen to me. And so people kind of feel, not everyone, but some people may feel distance from events like this. But I think what people are trying to show, especially through social media, especially these kids, is that this can happen anywhere. It shouldn't happen anywhere, but it can happen anywhere. And they're trying to show you how terrifying it is. One thing is reading it in the news. You know, this happened at this time, this at this place, and this is the number of casualties. But to see, like you said, to see the video of students in school while they're learning things, while they are where they should be worried about, you know, turning in a paper and what they're going to wear to prom. They're worrying about getting shot, getting killed in a place that's supposed to be safe. Of course, I think that the fact that they were brave enough, to share those moments of terror says a lot, because now we feel that terror. We feel it for them, and this shouldn't happen. And so I think everybody thinks this shouldn't happen, but lots of people don't know what to do to make it not happen again. So the more that these videos and these pictures and these words are just shared, maybe somebody will finally, you know, make a change, or maybe somebody will, and I shouldn't say make a change. Lots of people are trying to make change, but maybe a change will finally take place. And for these students, they're using the tool that they technically grew up with. One of the lines in the story says, for these teenage students born in the mid-2000s, communicating with their smartphones and the language that comes with it is instinctual. And it's true. They were basically, you know, for us, social media and smartphones came a little while later, but for them, they are the kings and queens of this stuff. And yeah, sometimes people share stuff that other people may find ridiculous and, you know, egotistical or whatever. But in this moment, these kids used the only tool that they had with them to show the world what was happening. And now the great part is that now they're using that very same tool to make change. And so sometimes some of these kids, you see that they have like thousands and hundreds of thousands of followers on Twitter now, and they're talking about changing laws and making it possible so this stuff doesn't happen again. And I think that's incredible. And I think that they are heroes in that they want to see change, and not just, you know, the way that we all want to see change, but they are doing everything in their power to bring about that change and to make sure, like you said, that they are the last school shooting.
Yeah. And it's powerful to see. I'm thinking back to the CNN, town hall that they had, and you saw these kids who were there, who experienced it, who saw their classmates dead on the floor. And they have now, because of their experience, they have the power. They have almost as equal power, it felt like, as a politician, as whether it was Marco Rubio or whoever else was in that stage as well. They had the power. It's sad that it has reached that point, that they had a witness that they had that now they have that amount of power. Where does that mean just a regular, like a person who hasn't experienced that doesn't have the power? That shouldn't be the case.
No.
And feel what you may about some of the politicians or whatnot on either side, but a lot of work obviously has to be done. And personally for me, am I feeling that schools are going to get safer? Not anytime soon, unfortunately. That's just my opinion. But I am hopeful that now that we are now hit a crossroads where, okay, there used to be the shock of the school shooting, and then it became kind of almost a regular pattern, unfortunately. And now it's just reached a point, I'm hopeful that we're all sick of it. I think we were sick of it from the beginning, and not that nobody's necessarily happy about it, but it felt like we weren't sick enough to the point where, okay, now we really want to change. Now we're putting all those politics aside. We're putting the money by aside, because let's not act like there's not some money involved with some certain political factors when it comes to how you feel about guns, how you feel about restrictions when it comes to guns. But the way that these kids have moved about and said that, well, there was one I remember watching on, I think it was MSNBC, that said, I can't believe that I had to witness this. And I can't believe that now, a week ago, I wasn't thinking about going to town halls and talking to politicians. Mm-hmm. And here I am now. And now here I am. I think this was one of the people that was going to talk with President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like cut, like what you were saying earlier, they shouldn't be worrying about these things. They should be worried about. And yet we're still here so many years later.
Yeah,
and
so like, many shootings later.
And I'm hopeful that these students do accomplish what they said they want to be, that they want to be the last school shooting. I hope that is the case.
Yeah.
Is there more pressure that we need to add to not just politicians, but certain groups. Absolutely, they need to add it. And also to ourselves, we need to change our culture as well. And I know a lot of people are making an effort to changing the culture, whether it's how we feel about, whether it's guns or even to something like to the extent
mental
of
health.
Yeah, mental health,
yeah.
Bullying, things like that. There's a lot of work to be done. Don't get me wrong. But just because there's a lot of work to be done doesn't mean that it's not possible. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, we all think, I don't think anyone's like, no, things should stay the same, the exact same. This just keeps happening. I don't think anyone thinks that. I think we all want to see things get better. You know, people have different solutions, but we want to see things get better. But I think what happens is after these things happen, because unfortunately they have happened frequently, they happen and we all say, you know what, things need to change. And that's it. We think it's somebody else's job to change things. And Yes, obviously there's people who have more power to change things than other people, but really we all hold some sort of power. And these kids, you know, they're not even 21 and some not even 18. And obviously there were faculty involved in this as well, but these they're kids, you know, they're teenagers, and they are taking on people with power, people in Washington and people in the White House, and they're doing that through social media, and that's what's incredible. We talk about this all the time. Whenever there's a horrific event, people send their thoughts and prayers, and I don't think there's anything wrong with sending your thoughts and prayers, but if you have the power to send more than thoughts and prayers, I think you should probably use that power to send more than thoughts and prayers. And so these kids, when certain politicians were tweeting things out about, you know, sending their thoughts and prayers because politicians have more power than certain people, these, you know, some of these kids were responding and they were saying, I need more than thoughts and prayers. We need, like, my friends just died. Like, they were saying, and it's so true. Like, they Twitter and other platforms gave them the power to answer these politicians instead of, and for the politicians to see that and for the world to see that, because they have the ultimate voice now. And so it's inspiring to see them do that. And I mean, I hope that there really is change. And I mean, obviously, if we can do something, we should.
Yes. You know, I bet it seems like bullying has been around basically since the beginning of time. And it is something that has been talked about a lot. And we definitely want to hit it up, but we're going to take some angles on it, because bullying in general is obviously is not good, to say the least. It happens pretty much to everybody. I don't know one person that I can say or that I know of that said, hey, I have never been bullied, whether as a child or as an adult, which we'll get into in a second. But with all these, we were talking about shootings earlier. We're talking about what happened in Florida. And there has not been a report saying that this person that did that had been bullied. But in the past, there have been reports about people who have done these unfortunate incidents have been bullied, and not every person that had been bullied, not every victim has gone to that extreme. But bullying is something that, especially over the last few years, there's been a lot of campaigns on social media, and we see it on television as well, to end bullying. Bullying in social media has become something now that it feels like it's pretty common. Now, in school, you kind of knew who the bullies were, and you did your best to avoid them. But now with cyberbullying, it's people that, yeah, you know, it could be people that you don't know. And they just come in, and before you know it, you're not only being bullied at school or at work, you're being
everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. You're getting bullied everywhere. So some facts about cyberbullying that I was reading from dosomething.org, nearly 43% of kids have been bullied online, and 1 in 4 has had it happen more than once. So we grew up in a time where there wasn't necessarily social media yet. It hadn't come around. It was just a few years after. 70% of students report seeing frequent bullying online. So that's 3 out of 4 people, basically. 3 out of 4 kids have seen somebody else get bullied. And a lot of times, there's what can you do? What can you do? And not just online, but also even when you're getting bullied in school, I think for a lot of times, a lot of kids, what they do, I know I've done it before and I'm not proud of it. When you see somebody else get bullied, you usually don't step in.
You don't do anything.
Yeah, you just kind of wait for it to either die out or wait for a teacher to kind of get involved. So with this issue of bullying, and we'll get to the adult bullying in just a little bit, but I want to get your thoughts, Yvette, on bullying in the sense of, before you talk about cyberbullying, let me just ask, have you ever been bullied?
I was probably bullied at some point in school. Like you said, this is, it had nothing to do with social media, but it wasn't anything. It was never, fortunately, thankfully, it was nothing that I harbored, I guess. Nothing that I didn't want to go to school because of it. The bullying never got to that. You know, kids tease each other or, you know, will say something and maybe it's a moment of bullying, but no, I can't say that I had a constant bully, you know, when we grew up seeing, bullying, I guess, portrayed in television and film, right. It was like, you know, usually some kid who was bigger than another kid and had more physical strength would bully another kid into giving them their lunch money or giving them their lunch or doing their homework. And that's how we portrayed bullying. And so, no, I never experienced that. I was teased, but never extensively and never, like I said, to the point where I didn't want to go to school. And I don't remember seeing a lot of that either. I can't tell you that, and I hope I'm right because I have a terrible memory, but I don't remember, nothing comes to mind where where anybody that I went to school with that at least that I noticed was severely bullied. But like I said, I may have not noticed or I may have just forgotten. I don't know, but I don't remember that either. And I don't know if that was because of where I went to school or because of just, you know, bullying now just seems like such an extreme. And then since we didn't have that, maybe I just didn't notice. I don't know. But I can't say I was bullied, but I guess I can't say I was bullied to any extreme. What about you?
For me, I was bullied. As a little kid, I had some pretty big glasses growing up, and it was because of my physical appearance. I had some pretty big glasses. I had buck teeth, and my hair was just really kind of weird into the side. And so, yeah, I guess you could say I looked like a nerd, and I guess that just made me an easy target. So I was bullied by...
One person or a group?
A group. Yeah, I was bullied as a group in second grade.
And was it a consistent, they followed you throughout other grades, or it was just it happened that time and then...
No, it happened that time and then another time it would be another group and things like that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was bullied. Yeah. I mean, it's looking back at it now, it's just it's whatever. But yeah, it did. It did hurt. You know, even when you're 8 years old or 9 years old, you know, it
does
hurt.
You're still finding your identity and for someone to throw it off like that. Did you ever not want to go to school because of it? Or was it something you're how did you deal with it?
I just kind of accepted it I kind of accepted the fact, this sounds really sad to say, but this is the truth. I kind of accepted that I was a nerd and I just it wasn't going to change anything for me. I was never going to be quote unquote cool. And I just had to accept the fact that this is... I'm going to get beat up sometimes and I'm going to get picked on.
So you got physically beat up?
Sometimes, yeah.
Wow.
I would get hit and I would get picked on because of my bad teeth and I had these big glasses on and I really couldn't go home and tell my mom and be like, hey, I'm getting bullied or whatnot.
Yeah.
That part wasn't in me. And then again, I love my mom. She's always been great, but she never gave me a talk about bullying in the sense of that wasn't something that was brought up. And I didn't bring it up either. So maybe it's more on me as a kid. I should have said, you know, I'm getting made fun of in school. But
if you weren't taught to, say something. Did they ever talk about it in school? I'm guessing now they have talks about bullying and cyberbullying.
Barely. Okay. From what I recall, just barely. They would just say you shouldn't make fun of somebody else for whatever the reason or whatnot. And that would be it. But then... that was just the norm of the early 90s, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
or maybe
crazy.
Just before nowadays, where there is more of the thought about, okay, we need the implications of bullying are serious. And I think nowadays we've heard, unfortunately, the stories about how kids unfortunately take their own lives because of bullying, because they feel like there is no escape there's no end to, whether it's at school, whether it's even sometimes at home, because...
Yeah.
An older brother or an older sister or siblings in general, they can bully as well. People don't may not
think
about
there's
it.
Bullying within families.
Oh, yeah.
and you know, especially at least with me and a lot of the Latino families I know, you know, there's teasing. You kind of gotta deal with the family bullying.
Yeah.
At least in my family.
No,
you know?
You're right.
And I don't want to say that it's okay, but it's not. I think that it depends on who. If someone you love is bullying you. Well, I don't know if bullying is the right word. If someone you love is teasing you, you, I guess, can either say, like, mm-hmm. you could be that person that's like, no, don't tease her because she doesn't like to be teased, or he or whatever.
Right.
Or you can just, you know, roll. You know, sometimes we, there's people that around us that we tease, but I think that's different. That's, yeah. That's different than bullying. I have a, well, sort of a bullying story. It wasn't me. I feel really bad about this now, but, no, and I wasn't a bully, but I do remember at one point, I won't say what grade it was because I don't want anyone to know. but in my, like, before I was in like the third grade, before the third grade, I bullied a boy that I liked. I was that person. So cliche, but yeah, I did. And
you're
it wasn't.
Like, you're like Helga and Hey Arnold.
Yeah, kind of, but not really. Not like to that extent, but I did. I bullied, like, it was, I wasn't the only one, like, you know, a couple people. And it wasn't anything like, we didn't know, it wasn't physically, and it wasn't like, you know, follow you home from school. And like, you know, it was right. like just, you know, sometimes during recess. And it didn't happen for a long time, but I did. I bullied the boy that I liked. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't okay, but I guess I didn't think of it as bullying. I thought of it, like, I guess in a weird young me way, yeah. young embarrassingly me way. I was like flirting, I guess. Mm-hmm. But he must have told the teacher, because at one point, like, that teacher for that grade, she that I won't name, but she had a talk with the class, like it was like she like lectured all of us on bullying. Mm-hmm. But I swear at one point she looked right into my eyes. Oh. And so, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, she knows, like, it was me. And I felt so guilty during that talk. I was just the worst person in the world to myself, because she was right. Like, she made so many points, you know, bullying is not okay, and being mean to people isn't okay. And I'm generally really a nice person, like most people can attest to that. But I, you know, I was very young, and I obviously didn't know. I wouldn't do this now, for the record, right. or ever after that. But yeah, that during that lecture, she was like spot on. And it, like I said, it was to the whole class, but she was looking at me. I know it. And sweet. I never, yeah. And after that, and like I said, the bullying didn't last for a long time. And, it, you know, I guess I thought of it more of like flirting, teasing at the time, but I never did it again,
right.
ever. And to him, and I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to name him. I just don't remember his name. I'm not going to rename him though. But
you know, for
I hope
me,
he doesn't hold anything against me. No. That was horrible.
Now, for me, see, after about fifth grade, I kind of got out of the bullying cycle. I guess, you know, I wasn't bullied anymore. I just kind of became one of the, I guess, quote unquote, regular kids, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But in seventh and eighth grade, I became a bully. I started becoming a bully.
Why? Like, was there a switch in your mind that was like, all right, now I'm like, or did it just happen naturally? Like,
it happened because around seventh grade and eighth grade, I felt like I was one of the quote unquote popular kids there. And I kind of like knew that, like, I was generally liked by the people, like, mm-hmm. by even the kids who were like the little wannabe gangster kids, to everybody from just like my like regular friends to mm-hmm. everybody else. It felt like, you know,
like you had the power.
Yeah, like I had that. Yeah.
Okay.
And you begin to like it. You begin to like, okay, now people will listen to me. And they did listen to, and you know, other kids would listen to you. So you kind of become a leader of a little mini pack, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that, okay, then you team up, I guess, if you will, with other kids. And I'm not saying this is a good thing, but you team up with other kids who maybe take it a little bit more extreme, who physically started beating some people.
Oh,
some
so you physically, you were a physical bully?
No, I never physically, no, but my the people I was hanging out with,
They were. So you were there for it.
I was there for it. Me, I was just more of just the talker or whatnot. But if I was a kid, I was like, oh, I'll fight, you know, my little voice or whatnot. But I was more like, I'm going to pick on you. And I felt like, to me, it felt good because I never had that. Both.
Oh, you had like the power, I guess.
Yeah, I never had the power in school to do that. And also at home, I have my older brother. Mm-hmm. And me and my older brother are cool now. But my brother would even admit it. He was a big bully to me, mm-hmm. you know, for many years growing up. And now having that, it just felt so good. And it's sad to say that. It's sad to say that it felt good, but it did. It did.
Confessions
feel
of a Bully.
Yes. Yes.
But did you ever, at any point, did you ever feel bad? Like, did you ever feel like, oh man, this used to be me? Or it didn't hit you then?
It hit me when, and this is the first time I am telling this as far as in public. I know I've told some other people, but I've never said it in this kind of form. I once got called to the, me and a group of my friends got called to the principal's office because there was one kid that we had bullied so much that he didn't want to come to school.
Oh, man.
Yeah. No, he didn't want to come to school. His dad called the principal's office, and then we were called to the principal's office, and Yeah.
And then it hit you.
Yeah, then it hit me. And then I thought we were going to be like in really deep, deep trouble. We were able to, I guess, a warning where he just gave us a warning. But he said, like in typical teacher talk or principal talk, I don't want to see you in my office ever again.
Yeah.
And he was right overall. Like back then I was just like, okay, yeah, it's whatever. But then when I got home and I realized like, oh man, like I know what that's like.
Yeah.
I know what that's like. So that's when I began to kind of look back and think, what am I doing here? Like that's not.
And I wonder if like other, like now I'm turning into the mind of a bully, but I wonder if like people who bully, whether it was when we were growing up or now, I wonder if they think that they could drive somebody to that. Not like, let's not go to the extreme, not suicide, but just drive somebody to like really just not want to, like to be afraid and to be like, to feel so helpless and to just not want to go to school. Because, you know, most kids, yeah, like if you don't have to go to school, you don't want to go to school. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's, you know, where you could see your friends and you could to play or whatever. So there's a little part for some people, maybe even bigger, that you enjoy going to school. Right. So to take that away completely from someone, I wonder if that's, because I'm sure that wasn't your intention. You weren't like, we're going to bug him so bad until he doesn't want to come to school. And that wasn't my intention when I, you know, flirted, teased, slash bullied maybe. It wasn't that, you know, like, I don't know what my intention was back in there, but I'm sure that you weren't trying to drive them away. But I wonder if with other people who just won't stop, especially now that social media plays a role into it, I wonder if that's on someone's mind. Like, can you really dislike somebody or hate somebody so bad that you want to take away their school experience?
In my mind, and I'm not, you know, I'm not a psychologist, I've not studied on this, but I think it has to be something else other than the fact that they just want to, you know, hurt that person.
Yeah.
I just think it has to be something, whether it's at home or something that has happened. And it's unfortunate because really for a lot of these, I'm going to say kids, for a lot of these kids, they need help. They need to have somebody to talk to, because that is some sort of anger, some sort of frustration.
Yeah.
That is them. Or maybe it could be just what happened in my case, where it's just, it felt good. And you don't realize that you need to channel that elsewhere, not channel it just because you felt somewhat, in a way, at least for me, looking back at it now, I felt redeemed. I felt like, okay, now I'm here.
Like you canceled out your years of being bullied.
Yeah, because those years were terrible.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, now I have the control. And then you have to have a circumstance like that. Unfortunately, now we're seeing things that are more extreme, like people unfortunately taking their own lives or just not going to school. And I wanted to also hit up on the topic of, we're talking about bullying as more for kids and for maybe high school, but it happens to adults as well.
Yeah.
And I was reading this column here by Inc. It's the five types of bullies adults face. The five are, there's the physical bullying. So this includes threats, intimidation, and harassment. That would be something that's, you know, maybe we don't see that every day, but it's still out there. There are still. There's tangible material bullying. That's when a bully uses power position. So I'm your boss to control the victim. This is tangible material bullying. There's, of course, the verbal bullying, anything from teasing to threats to gossip and also obviously to strong language. These bullies will use their words to torment, even when they may not have actual power over the victim.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's the worst kind of bullying.
Yeah. Then there's the passive aggressive bullying. So describing as like negative gossip, negative joking at someone's expense, sarcasm. I think we see that one quite a bit as well. The condescending eye contact, facial expression or gestures, mimicking. And there's other, there's sabotaging someone's well-being. Oh, wow.
That's a separate bully?
No, this is the, it's the same one.
Oh, it's still part of the passive
aggressive?
Yeah. Oh, that one actually might be one of the worst ones.
Yeah, deliberately causing embarrassment and insecurity. And I think—
That's horrible.
Yeah, that one is still part of the passive aggressive one.
Yeah.
But for me, I've seen that— Even recently, I've seen people, unfortunately, do that one. Well, they'll bring up an embarrassing story.
Yeah. Just to make...
That's not cool.
Those...
All right. If you're one of those people that do that, that wants to, as me and my friends call it, we've called it before as a joke, reminisce. Like reminisce.
Because you're reminiscing. But you're
kind of dissing somebody.
That's exactly,
but that's not cool.
Yeah. No, it's not, because what are you getting at? Well, no, of course they're getting joy out of it. But why? Why is someone else's... Not like a moment from someone else's life that isn't a good moment or they don't want to bring up. Why are you bringing that up?
Like,
That, yeah, I know people like that. That's frustrating.
Yeah. The last one is, of course, is cyberbullying, which we've talked about. Recently, we saw an episode of somebody who had experienced cyberbullying, and it made news. This was former NFL player Jonathan Martin. He was detained in a Los Angeles area hospital. He was seeking treatment after he posted on Instagram a photo of a shotgun and saying, I'm just reading the reading it here. It says, when you're a bully victim and a coward, your options are suicide or revenge. That's unfortunate.
That's what he said with his post.
Yeah, that's what he said with his post. And that's obviously unfortunate to hear. He also tagged people one in particular, he tagged somebody who was his former teammate with the Miami Dolphins, who a few years ago there was a scandal where this former teammate picked on Jonathan Martin and caused him to basically quit the team.
Wow.
And it led to suspension and Jonathan Martin is no longer in the league, but it's just a continuation of the fact that bullying as adults can have just as much as, you know, pain.
And it can affect anyone.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about an NFL player here that some people would assume, you know, NFL players, they don't get bullied, but yeah, anybody can.
And with getting back now to cyberbullying, like we mentioned before, we didn't grow up necessarily there wasn't Instagram when we were in third grade or in fourth grade.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah. But Yvette, I want to get your thoughts on if we thought bullying was tough when we were young.
Yeah.
When we were in third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, whatnot. How about now for these kids who now, let's say they're getting, unfortunately, hopefully not, but if they're getting bullied at school, they go back home and they're looking at their phone.
Yeah, and they're still
getting bullied on Facebook, and they're still getting bullied on Instagram. I don't know. It feels like it's tougher to be a kid now.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Like you said, when we were kids, and the things that we would see portrayed in the media and, you know, around us or to us, it would happen at school. And you're not at school all day and you're not at school on the weekend. So yeah, you get away from it. You're free for a while if that's what you're going through. But now with social media, it follows you everywhere. And before, it used to be that it would follow you home onto the computer at home, you know, the desktop that a lot of people had, the family desktop that you weren't allowed to use all day. So things like that. Now it's in your phone. Your phone is always with you. It's in your hand. And these kids are getting harassed and tortured. And it's just, I think the kids that are growing up today, like, I know sometimes we'll say that they don't know what real work is like. And like, because it seems like they have things easier. I know we've joked around about that, but also they have things harder because they face more of a chance to be tortured like that. They take that home with them, even if they don't want to. And now, like when the internet first came out, it gave people the power to be, I would say the best thing. Well, I don't know who actually said it, but I quote them a lot. They said the best thing about the internet is it gives everyone a voice. And the worst thing about the internet is that it gives everyone a voice.
Right.
And so it's so true, because now people have a voice and they have the power to be anonymous if they want, which is very, very, like, it's such a thing that a coward would do. But that's what a lot of people do. And now with social media, yeah, you have your accounts and stuff, but really you can make up all these other fake accounts and bully people if you'd like. And people do that. And so, I know we grew up with, you know, sticks and stones, you know, words. What is it? Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not true. Words hurt.
Yeah.
Words hurt. And words that are out there for the whole world to see hurt even more. And that they're following you constantly and you're seeing it on Twitter and Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, email, whatever. I'm sure there's several other platforms that kids are using now that I don't know about. But it's just, it's horrible. And I can't, like, I have two nieces and I can't, like, to think that's the world that they're growing up in, and that they, I mean, I hope that they never become bullies, but I also hope that they're never bullied. But I guess, is that even realistic? Like, to never be bullied? And you can try and teach people. I think now you can look, we're more mature now that we can look back and you can tell a younger you, look, those are just words.
Yeah.
Like, yes, they hurt, but you will be okay. And you will grow up to be great, greater than you are now.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we can say that to ourselves, you know, back then, or we can tell ourselves that now, but you can tell a child that, and, you know, who knows that they would listen. They won't, you can't take away their pain. Like, those words and whatever else is they're being, like, bullied with, that all hurts. And you can tell someone to be strong and that it'll be okay. But I mean, in that moment.
And like you said, it's now following them home. It might be back in our day, I guess, back when we were younger,
It ended.
It ended at 3 o'clock, or it ended as soon as you stepped into your doorway.
Yeah, but in the summertime.
Yeah, or in the summertime, you didn't have to, quote unquote, deal with it.
Yeah.
But now you're dealing with it everywhere, and it's tough. I guess to kind of close off this conversation about bullying, is there something that's, I guess, what's your hope for when it comes to that kids nowadays? We're talking about social media and how we could use it for positive things, as we mentioned in our conversation earlier. Obviously, it could be used for negative things. But when it comes to bullying, is it just as simple as parents we need to talk, or teachers we need to educate our kids more about bullying? Or is it something more than that?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit of everything, because, yeah, if a parent is raising a child like a brat, mm-hmm. That sounds horrible, but if a parent is raising a child like that, then, yeah, chances are that kid might be a bully or might be used to having things their way, and so they might use their power for the bad, you know, because social media, that's what it is. It's power. It's a powerful tool. And you've got these kids in Parkland who are doing great things with it right now and trying to bring about change, not just for themselves, but for everybody. And then, yeah, you've got people who are bullies and cowards and who are using social media to torment others. And so I think we have seen that people talk about bullying a lot more now, especially cyberbullying. Like you said, there's campaigns, and I'm sure that there's a part in school now where it's just, you know, that they talk about it. I'm sure that you do hear about that a lot. So yes, it's part of the education. I think they are doing something to educate people about it and its effects. Mm. But yeah, I think more can be done. And I think, yes, it can come from the parents. You know, you can teach your kids. Now, and I'm not a parent, so I guess I can't speak a lot. I don't know what it's like to have to teach a child something like that. But I think you can try. You can try to teach. I'd like to think that if I ever had kids, I would try. I would teach them that that's not okay, that you can't do that to somebody else because you don't know what it will lead them to. And so if you, like, yes, just don't be a bad person. Don't be mean. And don't let anyone be mean to you. And you tell somebody and you know, oh man, I hate to think about that. That's something that we'd have to teach our kids now. But I think it comes from everybody. And I think that it also comes from within. And so my hope is that more and more younger people with this powerful tool use it for the better, use it to make the world a better place, the world around them, and the world for the future generations to come, instead of tormenting others with it. Because nobody wants to be on the other side of that.
No, and for me, my message would be, for Yvette had mentioned it as well, that yeah, the words can resonate. They sometimes they don't, but a lot of times they do. They'll resonate sometimes even more than physically getting bullied and getting beat up. Sometimes you remember a little bit more of those times that you were called a certain name or you were made fun of because of whatever than the time that you had gotten beaten up. There is always a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
And there's something that's, you know, you need to speak up and you need to do something, whether it is that you're getting bullied or whether it's that you're seeing somebody getting bullied. I think that's...
Yeah, take the bully's power away.
Yeah, I think that's something that we just kind of, we look at it, we see a bully.
The bystander effect.
Yeah, and then, and just kind of, well, somebody else will take care of it.
Yeah.
Whether it's the teacher, whether it's the parent, whether it's whatnot. No, you need to do something about it. And a great website is dosomething.org. That is a place where you can get more resources. If there is any kind of questions that somebody might have about whether it's bullying or whether you're getting bullied yourself, they do actually have a crisis text line. So send a text to 741-741, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They have trained counselors that will talk about anything that you need from when it comes to bullying, when it comes to any kind of issue that you're having as well. There is also stopbullying.gov, which has other resources as well, because as Yvette and I had mentioned, bullying is now not longer just at the school. It is everywhere, and it is a big problem.
And not just for kids, for adults too.
Absolutely. It's happening at our jobs. It's happening when we don't even think it is, when we think it's just, oh, we're just talking, or it's just a little bit of fun. It's not a little bit of
fun. It's not a little bit of fun if both parties aren't having fun.
Right.
So remember that.
Yeah. So the help is out there, and speak up and say something, and hopefully one day I like to think that maybe one day bullying will be something of the past, in the sense of, like, remember when bullying was an issue, mm-hmm. and now nobody would even dare to think about, like, no, don't pick on that person, or no, don't do that, because of the consequences that could happen. Just a hope.
All right, well, that's our episode for today. We hope you enjoyed this conversation. Don't forget to tell your friends and family to subscribe to the podcast via Apple Podcasts, KSL News Radio, Stitcher, Radio Public. TuneIn Radio, and
there's another one. I just couldn't remember their name right now.
That's cool.
there's
the other ones should be enough. Yes. And don't forget to follow, or I should say tell your friends and family, because hopefully you are already following, to follow us on social media at KSL Cafecito on Twitter. I'm also at Evie Cruz.
And I'm at Joel Carreras.
And on Facebook, we're KSL Cafecito.
See ya.
Ciao.